Hey everybody, this is Beachmine, aka The Terrible Australian, and welcome to the 16th and final edition of my 2016 Myth audio reviews. And for this very last edition, I will be reviewing the Dardenne Brothers' latest film, The Unknown Girl, and as well as the Studio Ghibli-produced French animated film, The Red Turtle. So let's get right into it. And as I've stated in the previous audio reviews, I will be reading both the plot summaries to both these films from the 2016 Myth Program Guide. So, you know, as I've stated before, so that way I don't screw up what these films are about, since I have a tendency to do that. So without further ado, let's get right into it. And first up, of course, is the Dardenne Brothers' The Unknown Girl. Waking late one night, young physician Jenny ignores a buzzing at the clinic door. When the police discover the body of an unidentified African woman the next day, Jenny becomes obsessed with discovering who the woman was and why she where she came from and why she died. I'm actually sort of a relatively newcomer to the Dardenne Brothers. I've seen a couple of their films prior to this one, like Lawn of Silence, which was a great little film, and as well as 2 Days, 1 Night, which was the film that starred Marion Cotillard in her Oscar-nominated performance, which was their previous film prior to this one. But that being said, though, even though I've only seen a few of their films, they're definitely very interesting filmmakers that I always very intrigued to check out when they have a new film announced. And The Unknown Girl is no exception to that. And what was very interesting about this film is that it kind of, the plot to it has sort of almost a mystery kind of noir type of feel to it, but at the same time, the Dardenne brothers kind of approach it in this sort of naturalistic kind of tone and look to it. Since the Dardenne brothers sort of are best known for bringing sort of naturalism to their approach to their films, the film sort of gave it a much more believable, almost real world kind of quality to it, and hence why I found it quite a really engaging and compelling film. Even though it's not the most original kind of mystery of all time, but it's still a pretty well made one, and I did find the mystery itself quite engaging, and at times it did go to places that I didn't honestly expect. And as a mystery, you know, that's what a mystery film should be like, especially one that has kind of noirish kind of elements to it like this one does. Sort of the naturalistic vibe to it also just elevated it as well. Also, it's pretty, like I said, it's a pretty well-made film. It's really well directed by Jean-Pierre and Luc Dardenne, who also wrote the script as well. But to me, what made another aspect or what made the film really work for me, of course, was the performances, particularly the lead performance of Jenny, who was played by Adele Hynell, and if I butchered her name, please forgive me. She definitely gives a really wonderful performance. She's has a great sort of on-screen presence to her, and you also just can't help but feel her her character's journey through this film, and where she sort of starts off, where her journey ends up, is really compelling, and she brings a lot of layers to the character that sort of make her very well-rounded and compelling as a character. And also the supporting cast all do really good work in their roles, and it's just a really good film, and just one that I really found quite engaging. Like I said, there are some little, I mean, compared to the sort of other work, this one definitely is not quite as good, as Lawn of Silence or even 2 Days, 1 Night were. But it's still a really, mainly because, like, in terms of how they sort of approach the thriller genre, like I said before, the film doesn't really sort of add anything new that we haven't seen before. And it doesn't surprise me that the film kind of has had a bit more of a kind of a mixed kind of reaction to it from critics. But so in terms of like how it's set up and where it goes with the story, like I said, it doesn't bring anything new. But there like were some couple of turns within the story I did find really compelling and actually was quite surprising. But that being said, it's still a really compelling film. I really enjoyed this one a lot. And to me, it's really one of the performance of Adele Hansel, if I butchered her name, please forgive me, who sort of made me feel as compelled with it as I was. And, you know, it's just pretty well made as well by the Dardenne brothers. Like I said, it's not one of their best works, at least of the ones that I've seen so far, but overall, it's a pretty good film overall. So if I had to give The Unknown Girl a rating, I'd give it a solid 4 stars. Now, on to the final film for this review, and that, of course, is the Studio Ghibli-produced French animated film, The Red Turtle. And what is this one about? In a majestic world of intricate hand-drawn textures, a shipwrecked man is marooned on a desert island, with his attempted escapes thwarted by a strange, larger-than-life titular red turtle. The man's existence is forever altered when something extraordinary occurs. Now, I have to admit, when I realized that The Red Turtle was going to be the very last film that I was going to see at MIFF 2016, I was a little worried, because in the sort of 4 prior years that I've attended MIFF, I have not had the best experience with the very last film I saw at the festival in those in each of those years. Other than one year in particular, 3 out of the 4 films that I saw at MIFF ended up being very big disappointments for me. 2 of which ended up being like some of my most hated films at the festival. So I was a bit worried about The Red Turtle in that regard. Like, was this film going to continue the trend of ending my run at the festival this year by giving me something that was disappointing or underwhelming or bad? Or will it break that trend by actually giving me something like a highlight to end the festival on? But I'm happy to report that this film luckily was able to break that curse. I really, really liked this film a lot. I thought it was absolutely wonderful. But one of the things what I was really intrigued about is that this is actually this film was produced by Studio Ghibli, of course, the studio behind all Hayao Miyazaki's films and many more anime films from Japan. This is the first film that they've produced which it was not made in Japan. This one was made entirely in France, and it was the work of co-writer and director Michael Duboc DeWitt. If I pronounce his name wrong, forgive me. So I found fascinating about the film is that this is the first time that Studio Ghibli was involved with a film with a filmmaker who's not Japanese. So in that regards, I was really compelled to see like the combination of French animation and Studio Ghibli. Like, how was the film going to turn out? And as you would expect, the film turned out great. As you would expect, the animation is so beautifully well done. It's one of the most beautiful looking films I've seen this year. And it made me realize how much I really miss 2D animation. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love 3D animation that's used by Pixar, Disney, and whatnot. But, you know, there's something quite magical about 2D animation. I mean, they do some sort of 3D elements in there in the film as well, but for most part, the film is done entirely in 2D, in hand-drawn style. And that's what I really loved about the film, and it gave the film such a beautiful texture to it when it came to its animation. And I thought that the film, when it... Duboc DeWitt did a really good job directing-wise, and the film is beautifully well written. And this is definitely a film, like, I can see, like, a lot of people might have problems with the story, mainly because it's a very sort of simple, straightforward story. If anything, the plot to this film is more of a fable than anything else, but it's just so beautifully handled, and I wasn't sure where the story was going to go, to be honest. Like, yeah, it's pretty simple and straightforward, but I was very intrigued, like, where this film's story is going. Like, and the film actually kept surprising me quite a few times, like where it went, in which directions it took, and which I won't spoil what that is, because, you know, that we go in the spoiler territory. So, but also another thing what I found really interesting about the film, and I didn't realize this until while I was watching it, is that the film is basically a silent film. Like the character, the shipwrecked man in the film, who's just simply called the man. Like, when there's no dialogue at all in the entire film. So basically the only thing you ever get from him is, in terms of dialogue, is him shouting out, "Hey," and stuff like that. Or just like sighing or grumbling and stuff like that. So there's no dialogue at all in this film. And the music score is also beautiful as well, incredibly moving. And yeah, I just really like this film a lot. I mean, there's a lot of things about this film I really wish I could say. But unfortunately, though, like I said, a lot of it is kind of spoilery. So I won't say too much about, like, in terms of sort of some more of the positives I like about the film, and as well, even some of the negatives as well. But I guess the only negative I could say, that I can say for sure, which I don't think is a spoiler, is that by the time the film ends, I kind of wish it went on longer. Like, I was so hooked into the film by then, and once it sort of ended, I really wanted more. Like, I'm not going to say that the film... I guess the film's kind of anticlimactic in a way, But I think how the ending is done is like really well done and the perfect note to end the film on. But I guess a part of me just wanted to see more of it and see more where the story goes, because there were some elements of the story that I guess the film didn't quite wrap up for me in terms of where it was going. And I kind of wish there was kind of more of a resolution into some of these aspects of the plot. But that being said, though, The Red Turtle is a beautiful animated film. Definitely one of the best of the year in terms of animated films. And definitely one I recommend as well. Definitely check this out once it gets released. If you don't expect the film to be, I guess, exactly like a Studio Ghibli type film, because since it is a mostly French production, it is a very different sort of style and tone compared to other Studio Ghibli films. So this is definitely a French film through and through. It's just, you know, Studio Ghibli had a hand on helping it get made. But that being said, it's a great film. That's worth checking out for sure. So yeah, if I had to give The Red Turtle a rating, I give it a solid 4 out of 5. Well, that's it. That is the very final installment of my 2016 MIF audio reviews. I hope you guys all enjoyed it. Now, I should say before I finish up that this audio review is the final of my solo audio reviews. I actually have 6 more films I do have to review that I did see at MIF, but I'm actually going to be covering those in an upcoming episode of the Super Podcast with my co-host Super Masty, since we both saw these 6 films together. So we're going to be dedicating an entire episode of Super Podcast to reviewing these 6 films. And the ones in which we're going to be reviewing will be The Neon Demon, The Devil's Candy, Soul Station, Fear Itself, Life Animated, and Christine. So we're going to be covering those in depth in an upcoming episode. So if you want some more MIF goodness, definitely keep a lookout for that episode, which will hopefully be on the website very soon. But I want to say thank you guys for listening to the solo audio reviews that I've done for MIF 2016. I hope you guys all enjoyed them all, and I hope they all give you some ideas to check out some pretty cool films to see in the future as well. So once again, thanks guys. I hope you all enjoyed them, and I'll see you guys all around. See you, everyone. Bye.